Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein Online. It's hump day, Wednesday, December 5th, 2007, the only December 5th, 2007 in the history of humanity. Let us choose, being free moral agents as we are, to make it a great one and a great evening. Welcome in on this particular edition of Glenn Klein Online, featuring the musings, the wisdom, the insight, the humor of the president of the Gospel Revolution, Mr. Michael Williams, coming to us live from Cypress, Texas. Michael!
Yes. Good evening.
Happy anniversary.
Anniversary of?
It's the 75th anniversary of the repeal of Prohibition today.
Well, how wonderful.
75 years ago today, the United States went from being a dry country to being very moist.
I'll drink to that.
Legally. You know, a great example of legalism completely and utterly failing, and somehow the government wising up to that fact. You know what it was called, Michael? It was called money. We needed the tax dollars, and all the tax dollars were going to Al Capone that would have been collected if alcohol was legal. And this is a huge thing for me and my family, because my grandfather on my mom's side was a bootlegger back in the day.
Back in the day?
In Chicago. And then once Prohibition was repealed, he sold booze legally for the rest of his life.
Wow.
Yeah, I have some really good connections for like some nice...
Such as the same as Mr. Joseph Kennedy, the father of the Kennedy family.
Yeah,
except... From what I hear rumored, anyway.
Except my grandfather was no Joe Kennedy. I did not know Joe Kennedy. But Harold Sachs was no Joe Kennedy, but he was a unique figure in his own right. So, my mom was raised on the proceeds of my grandfather selling Cutty Sark Scotch. So yeah, this is a significant day, but of course we continue with the lunacy of legalism and of the prohibition and the war on some drugs, as the money floods out of this country. The people that make their money on selling just the marijuana, forget about the cocaine and the heroin and everything else illegally. Interestingly enough, one of the presidential candidates, Mike Huckabee on the Republican side, and of course Ron Paul, the libertarian Republican that's running, but they're promoting this fair tax where everybody would have no income tax, there would be no taxes federally, except for a national consumption tax. So basically, if you want to give yourself a tax break, you just watch your consumption. That's too much freedom. I think that's too much freedom for our country. It's too much. I don't think people can handle it.
It's too much.
Well, sometimes we're too much, but what are you going to do, ladies and gentlemen? Hopefully participate tonight in the webcast. You can email us your questions and comments at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. Webcast@gospelrevolution.com. We ask that you keep those brief, get right to your point, because we've got so many of them. We've got some questions, Michael, backlogged for a couple of weeks now. So we're going to get to some of those tonight. You can also call us. Yeah, you can also call us at 1-800-436-3260. That is the Glenn Klein Online toll-free hotline. 1-800-436-3260. Patrick L. Jones, the producer and engineer and call screener extraordinaire, is waiting to take your call. We'll get you right online with Michael Williams of the Gospel Revolution. I was so excited this week, Michael, because Don Imus went back on the air, and I am a lover and a student of the history of communication and broadcasting, film, and not least of which, student of the Gospel and the Bible. Yeah. And you know, obviously this thing with Imus just blew up about 8 months ago, and then he got back on the air on WABC in New York and on RFD-TV, which is a rural television network, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that at a later date, but the thing that I wanted to bring out, and Patrick will be interested to hear this, here this guy is being paid multiple millions of dollars to go back on the air, had a settlement probably in the neighborhood of $30 to $40 million when he got fired from MSNBC and from Infinity Broadcasting, I think, is who he was with when he got fired and had the nappy hose comment. But they had nothing but technical problems for the first couple days. I mean, just like us, Michael. It was just like us.
How about us? We're high class then, right? Does that move us up to their level or them down to ours?
Well, it's I don't think it's a question of level. I think it's a question of reality. And but I loved it. And, you know, here Imus is supposed to be the, you know, the newer, the gentler, the kinder. And immediately he's tempted with, you know, losing his temper. And it was a beautiful thing. It was beautiful broadcasting. So
some broadcasters never change.
I mean, and on Imus, he had the former governor of Arkansas, Mike Huckabee, who was starting to surge in the Republican Party primary process.
Yes,
And Imus directly asked Huckabee, can Jews go to heaven without making Jesus Christ their personal Lord and Savior? He flat out asked him. And in true evangelical form, of course, Huckabee is a former Southern Baptist preacher and is very, very good. He's so good, he's dangerous. He said, Michael, in true evangelical form, that it was not for him to say, that it was beyond the scope of his run for the presidency, which was a very good response, except he's advertising himself on television with his ads as a quote-unquote Christian leader, which is true. He's a Christian, he says, and he is a leader. And then he asked him about the Mormon faith and Mitt Romney, and he skirted that issue really nicely. But very interesting stuff that is pertinent to our life, and it's all gospel-related.
Well, and again, you know, the one thing that we can certainly say that we have is, and that is the ability to answer every question, either I don't know or answer the question. Now, it'd have been fine if Huckabee would have said, I don't know, I'm not a Bible student good enough to answer that question, or I'm not a good enough Christian to answer that question. But to say who is he to judge when he has judged, I'm sure he's spoken, and I'm sure he has studied his Bible, and I know that if he is evangelical, he knows that unless you believe in Jesus, you're going to hell, based according to the doctrine.
Well, Huckabee said, and he quipped, and he kidded Imus. He said, Imus, even I think you can make it, possibly. He said, I'm not sure exactly. You know, here he's kidding about eternal damnation.
Yeah.
And then the other thing, too, that was interesting
was
that he said that at the end of his life, he just wants to hear these six precious words, well done, good and faithful servant. And in other words, he said it himself. He said, I hope and I pray that I have lived a life worthy of heaven. And
well, then why would he skirt the issue of Jews?
Because they're all screwed up, man. That's why.
If he has to live a life worthy, then why would he skirt the issue of having to believe in Jesus? Ah, it's all so crazy.
It's crazy, crazy for you. You know, that's old Patsy Cline song.
That's Patsy Cline.
Patsy Cline, yeah.
Glenn.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, this is a guy that could end up being president. I mean, he is very charismatic. He's very smart, incredibly articulate. Got a great self-deprecating sense of humor, and he's from Hope, Arkansas. You know, been there, done that. But hey,
he's from Hope, Arkansas.
As well, yep.
Well, hallelujah!
Isn't that intriguing? 1-800-436-3260. I'll tell you something, man. I registered to vote in the Republican primary because I was a independent register, and I did this today to vote in the Republican primary so I can vote for Ron Paul. This guy is the closest thing to freedom and an understanding of the Constitution that we have. He's the only Republican candidate that's been critical of the war from the get-go. He has been consistent down the line, 100%. And a lot of you beautiful humans have picked up on the equation of libertarianism from a political standpoint with the freedom of the gospel, and pretty insightful from some of our beautiful humans.
Yeah, it definitely is. I listen over the years. It's, of course, I was born and raised and trained Republican, and you know, have voted Republican most of my life, I have to say earlier years, and but the more that I've listened to the political views, the libertarian, I just wish they could win, you know.
Well, you know, it's my opinion. I am so fed up with both. That you know, and I have been a libertarian for a long time. Small L. I used to co-host Harry Brown's radio show, and he was a guest frequently on my program when I had the Daily Talk Show in the Tampa Bay area. And he ran for president in the Libertarian Party in '96 and 2000, and he unfortunately passed away last year from Lou Gehrig's disease. But what a terrific guy, and just a monumental figure. And you know, it's like, if you want different results, ladies and gentlemen, and continue to do the same damn thing, that is the greatest definition of insanity that I know. And that's what we have done for probably, you know, about the last 100 years. We keep doing the same freaking thing, and we expect everything to change. It's insane, Michael.
Yeah, the two-party system is almost got a death grip. I don't know of hardly anyone who's pleased with either, but to find the way out is going to take it's going to take a revolution.
Exactly, and that's, you know, I mean, I get involved and follow it, and I'm interested in, as I said before, as a student of the political scene. I love just the human dynamic of it. But we're going to let the politicians deal with their stuff full time. We got enough to do to see the gospel overturn this religious planet. And so we're going to, that's what we do, ladies and gentlemen, pretty much. We also like to make you think and cause you to laugh as well. If you do those two things on a more consistent basis, think and laugh, you might have a better life in any way you want it to define better. 1-800-436-3260 is the Glenn Klein online toll-free hotline. 1-800-436-3260. And we want to welcome our good friend from beautiful central Wisconsin, Marshfield to be specific, Pep Washburn is online. Pepe!
How you doing, Rabbi?
I am doing wonderfully. Thank you for caring enough to ask.
Hey, Pep.
Oh, it's nice up here.
Pep, say hello to Michael.
Hello, Michael.
Can you hear me, Pep?
I can. Do you have a good time
in
California?
No, I'm not in California. I'm in
Texas. No, did you have a good time
in
California?
You know, I have to tell people I can hear myself speaking Texan now. So.
No, he said, did you have a good time in California?
Oh, okay. I can't hear him. He can't hear me.
Only when you're both
talking.
I think
talking. It's age, really, more than anything here, Pep.
Yes, you both are seniors.
I did have a good Thanksgiving in California. It was amazing. I spent it with my Jewish friends and my Christian friends and atheists.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I've got a question for you.
Yeah, well, just so you know, folks, Pep was the one that hosted Mike just this last month in Marshfield for a series of meetings. And by the way, those series are going to be available. We've had a little bit of a delay for those that are waiting on the series from the Calgary and the Wisconsin meetings, but they're coming. Please be patient with
us.
What's your question, Pepe?
Well, Michael, when you were up here, we just barely had a real short conversation about the issue of tongues.
Yeah,
and I think that someone in the audience asked you what your opinion was on them or something like that. And I was wondering if you could just expand on that a little bit more. I used to speak in tongues quite frequently. In fact, I find myself speaking in tongues quite often when I'm frustrated and at other times of...
Those aren't tongues, Pap. That's just that's called swearing. You're just swearing.
No, actually, I do find myself not out of my control, but willfully, you might say, speaking in tongues. And when I'm in different psychological states, or things just come across my mind, and I just would like to get your take on that. that issue, which is pushed quite strongly in certain Christian quarters, it
and
was
completely ignored
issue.
Or demonized in others.
Well, just a quick story on that. My grandmother was so wrapped up in whether she could be granted the gift of tongues or not that she actually had a nervous breakdown in the 1930s because of it. And it was, I guess...
You never told me that.
I never shared that with
no,
you.
No, well, and no wonder you're interested in this topic. Wow, that doesn't sound unlikely, but wow. That's pretty intense. So what about this, Michael?
Go ahead and address that. So
I'm pretty much the same place that you are, Pep. I had an experience that was, as far as experiences are concerned, was just really off the charts. Nobody prayed for me to have the to speak in tongues. It happened to me. And as far as experiences go, I mean, I've never been able to deny the experiences or the experience. And as I started learning the gospel, though, for many years, the more I learned the gospel, the less I spoke in tongues. Now, the very interesting thing is, of course, the process of my learning the gospel, I pretty well laid aside everything, all benefits, if you will, of the gospel to learn the gospel. I didn't want to know if the gospel provided healing. I didn't want to know if it provided anything at all. I wasn't interested in a personal relationship. I wanted to know what happened at the cross. And so... I deliberately, now when the tongues began to cease, it was not a deliberate thing. It was just, I was no longer compelled to out of a feeling that I had to do it to gain something spiritual. But I pretty much am like yourself. I can't really address it in a doctrinal way except the few things that we know that the New Testament says about it. I have never excluded it from the experience of anyone. I don't debate the issue one way or the other. People who don't speak in tongues, I don't see as having any more access or righteousness or holiness than anyone else. But I cannot deny my own experience and the fact that I do, even as you said, I do deliberately speak in tongues. And the only way that I can explain it, it's like when I am speaking in tongues, there I allow things to run through my mind, and it's almost like this is the key. And we've admitted we don't know how to pray about anything on this program.
Yeah.
We really don't. The interesting thing is that Paul said, when you don't know how to pray as you ought, then this is a real great avenue. Mm-hmm. And so when that clicked in me again and revived that feeling inside of me, yes, well, I really don't know how to pray anymore. And it's been a dilemma for a lot of people in the gospel revolution who have embraced the gospel as we share it. And but it has revitalized in my life. I can't say on a daily basis, but sometimes it's a fair amount in a day or two or three, and you know, is it doing anything? You know, I can't really tell you, but I can, but...
It's not hurting anything.
It's certainly not hurting anything, and it does satiate my soul that I am praying, and I'm doing it in a way that, honestly, as I said, you know, I've become less knowing how to pray than any other time in my life, and now it seems as though that praying in tongues really is beneficial to me.
This is new information. This is new information, ladies and gentlemen, what you're hearing right now.
Yeah, you know, and that's just
you know, it's such a non-issue, Michael, that you and I haven't even talked about this. I was not aware. You guys are two of my best friends in the world, and I found out something about Pep tonight that I never knew, and now I know about this with Michael. I like, with tongues, I like when I'm sharing the gospel, like in bars and at parties and stuff, and tell people that I used to be a former evangelical minister and spoke in tongues and did the whole thing and the laying on of hands. They're like, come on. You know, as I've got, you know, my smoke and a Jack Daniels in my hand, although not so much anymore. But I said, yeah, you want to hear me speak in tongues right now? They're like, sure. And I'll break out, you know, in a bar or a party setting.
Uh-huh.
And it's fun. I love it.
Well, and it's, you know, it is, you know, you let people know it's you know, it can be done. You know, it's not... you know, it just is what it is, and those who benefit from it or enjoy it, we say, you know, praise the Lord, and you know, speak in tongues.
And praise the Lord and pass the ammunition.
There you go, and also for our friends who do not, we don't believe you're quote, you know, less spiritual for where you are and what you're experiencing. You're fine, you know. But this is an experience. This is not a validation of the truth of the gospel one way or the other.
Exactly.
It just isn't.
Does that help?
You know, Michael, yeah, I can really identify with what you're saying, both in experience and in logic. I mean, the way I've thought it through, too. I mean, you've said it, I guess, the way I would attempt to say it.
And that's why we keep them around, Pap, right there.
I've got another, just another quick question for you.
All right, well, before you do that, we want to get to that. We want to just remind everybody that they're listening to Glenn Klein Online with Michael Williams of the Gospel Revolution, Pep Washburn calling us from Wisconsin. You can call, too, at 1-800-436-3260, 1-800-436-3260. We love the interaction with you. And stay tuned, in just a few moments, we're going to be having our Legalist of the Week feature, featuring the very talented brother Ed Young of Dallas, Texas, and very dangerous as well. And you're going to love this segment, ladies and gentlemen. We've gotten some good feedback on it, so stay tuned for that. All right, so Pep, what's...
Yeah, I'll pose the question, and then I'll hang up and go back to listening live here. You're planning a convention, I believe you had mentioned, sometime next May. I'd like to know if you have any skeleton around which you're working, timetables, and what's the primary purpose of this convention? Is it to
well,
help
our
some people
skeleton
out of it?
Actually got moved to another month. So.
Oh, okay. Now, you go ahead and answer it. I'm going to hang up.
Pep,
and listen,
thanks.
Listen live.
What's the temperature up there today, Pep?
It's about 3 out right now.
All right, well, you know, keep the boys warm and take care of yourself. Thanks for calling.
I need to go turn the air conditioning on. It's warm in the office.
Okay, bye.
Thanks, Pepe. That is one solid individual, ladies and gentlemen, right
no
there.
No doubt about it.
He's the Willie Nelson of the Gospel Revolution. He could be Willie Nelson's double.
Yes.
All right, so... The convention. We can't talk about it being in May, but
I tell you, there's so much happening, and it's moving so fast that we are having to play catch up on just about every side. But it's good. It's good catch up. You know, it's we really are having really explosive time. That is giving us the opportunity to share the gospel in a lot of ways. And the CDs, they are just cranking out new designs. The Canada series is now in the can, and the labels and the covers are made. The CDs are being done just even as we speak. And the next week, we did have a four-week delay as our technician was unable to get to the... actual mastering the CDs, which we are remedying that even now. But anyway, now the purpose of us having this meeting is really just to get you know Pep, I know Pep. Pep knows you, Pep knows me. But what we want to do is that there's so many people need to meet Pep.
Yes, they do.
And my goodness, of the groups that we have, have in Canada and in New Jersey and Florida and Georgia and Hong Kong and Australia and just, I mean, all
the,
over.
The UK. How about the Canadian?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And so we really want to get everybody together so that they can see each other face to face. And we are beginning to feel the need to organize through Champions of Grace, which is giving us a great, great outlet to do just that. And so that's the intent of the meeting, is just to get everybody together.
Well, we're taking a look at in the autumn now, right?
Yes, we are going to the fall now.
You'll know as soon as we know, ladies and gentlemen. So
absolutely.
Just stay logged on and tuned in, and you will know. 1-800-436-3260. We want to welcome from beautiful Cincinnati, Ohio, Greg Ambergy with us. Gregory!
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing wonderfully.
It's snowing.
Greg, welcome.
It's chilly in Ohio, in the Buckeye
yeah.
State. Pretty excited about those Ohio State Buckeyes backing into the national championship, are we?
Somebody had to back in.
Yeah, well, you know, so backing in sometimes is not a bad thing.
That's true. I'm kind of intrigued by Pep's question because that's kind of an important question for me. I had the same experience as Mike as a raised Pentecostal and was a big tongue talker, and as I began to understand the gospel more, I did it less and less and less, until eventually just didn't become, it was something I didn't do. But what I didn't realize is that sometimes I would talk in tongues in my sleep.
Wow.
And my wife, who was raised Catholic, she was fascinated by it, so she wouldn't wake me up. She'd just lay there and listen. And she said, this goes on all the time. Where when I'm conscious, I don't, and sometimes I'll talk in my sleep in tongues.
You're talking about since you've received the gospel?
Yes.
Interesting. Well, you know, I would suppose, Greg, that speaking in tongues while you're sleeping is better than, you know, maybe yelling out other women's names and things. So.
Oh, of course.
Well, although, you know, I mean, you know, I'm sure your wife understands the gospel, yes?
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm sure she would be very cool with that, but nonetheless.
No, she would not be very cool.
Oh, she wouldn't. Oh, okay.
No, she understands the gospel, but, you know, Jesus might not be mad at me, but she might hit me over the head.
The wrath of wife would come.
There would be hell if I did such a thing.
That reminds me of the country music song, Jesus may forgive you, but I don't.
Yeah, that's my two cents on the subject.
Well, thanks, bro. We love hearing from you and love getting your correspondence. And
Did you get the link I sent to about the conversation between Paul, Barnabas, James, and Peter about circumcision?
I believe so.
It's at the Wittenberg door.
Oh yeah.
It's very funny.
You got that somewhere on your computer too, Michael. But. Yeah, we'll try to link that from the website, because yeah, that was good stuff, and we always
keep up the good work.
Thanks, Greg.
All right, Greg.
That's Greg from Cincinnati. Oh, this is fun, Michael. When the folks start calling and corresponding, see, we have all these gospel revolution correspondents out there. They've got great insights and great stories, and it just rounds out the evening so nicely.
It does. Rounded evenings are wonderful.
Well, this brings us to the segment known as Legalist of the Week, ladies and gentlemen, and we've got a great one tonight. Some of you may be familiar. This guy is kind of new on the scene, Michael, but he's huge. He's blowing up all over the place. His name is Ed Young. He's about 47 years old. Looks probably a little younger than that. Tries to act and look a lot younger than that. And you can check out his situation at edyoung.com. But he's got, you know, he's all over Trinity and the different Christian networks. And last Sunday, he did a message and has been doing a series of messages basically on tithing and how you're cursed if you don't tithe. And he compares money to cantaloupes, and he has a brief reference to that. So when you hear the reference to cantaloupes in this thing, you know he's talking about your resources, what you have. And just to set it up a little further, he is talking in this little segment that we're going to listen to about the experience that Adam and Eve had in the garden and how they fell under the curse. And then he segues in from that into people today being cursed. And so without any further ado, Pat, if you can hit that, Ed Young from Dallas, Texas.
God said, Adam and Eve, enjoy the garden. Have a blast in the garden. But God said, don't touch the fruit on the tree in the garden. God said, don't jack with my tree. Enjoy one another. Enjoy the fruits of the blessings and all of the things I've bestowed upon your life, but don't touch my tree. Well, what did the evil one do? The evil one came to Eve. Let's say this lady is Eve. She's not, but just for a second. And the evil one said, hey, eat the fruit from the tree. If you do, you can become like God. This will be off the chain. Incredible. That's what Satan said. Those are my words. But read it. It's in Genesis. So what did Eve do? Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. She got caught up in the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. She thought, hey, I can become like the Lord himself. So she ate God's portion. She shared it with Adam, and he ate God's portion too. And because of that, they chose a curse. God said, you're cursed. Why? Because they ate his portion. What does it mean to be cursed? To be cursed means to be out of the zone. To be cursed means to be positionally in a place where you cannot be blessed. That's what it means to be cursed. Could it be some of you here are cursed? Could it be that some of you here are eating the tithe? Could it be that some of you here are eating God's portion? I don't know. I'm just asking the question.
All right, Michael. So Ed Young asked a question. Could it be that any of those people sitting in his legalistic church in Dallas, Texas, are cursed?
Well, I think they're cursed by having to sit there and listen to this crap.
I mean, he's so suave and hip, you know, using he jacked with the tree and all those.
Cool, man.
Yeah, I mean, he's really.
We're not legalists. We're cool. Yeah, we sit in jacked up tongues.
Yeah. I'm so glad that he told us that those were his words, by the way, and by the way, that the woman that he addressed was not really Eve. I love how they respect people's intelligence as well.
But well, I mean, first off,
there,
I think
there was so funny. There was so much there in that little segment.
I mean, number one, to stretch that the reason God didn't want him to eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is because it's the one that God
eight. and he first of all, he says that God said not to touch the fruit, not to touch the tree. That wasn't true. God never said they couldn't touch it.
Yes.
He just said don't eat it. So see, right off the bat, ladies and gentlemen, they're misinterpreting the very ancient text from Genesis. That's number one.
Yes.
Then he said that Eve, getting into the lust of the flesh, et cetera, wanted to be like God. So
yeah.
It caught the lust of the flesh, he says, is the thing that made her want to be like God. In other words, God partaking of the lust of the flesh. That makes you part of God, not having anything to do with wanting to understand the knowledge of good and evil. And,
well,
go ahead. In
the terms of Paul, the lust of the flesh, the flesh lusts after self-righteousness. It wants its own righteousness. But that's not the terms that he was talking in. And being the lust of the flesh, the perversions of sorts, or overeating, or whatever. But I do believe that the flesh, Paul's definition of the flesh, was that part of us that craves self-righteousness. And so, yes, it was a lust of the flesh to try to attain something, but they were trying to attain what they already had, because they already said, let us create man in our own image, and in our own image created he them. And so they were already like God. That's the little enigma about all of this. And but taking God's portion, what a giant leap away from what the text says to tie that into tithing, number one, as if tithing, preaching legalistic tithing that you are cursed if you don't give and if you don't tithe. Now you got to feel like you're sitting down at a table, and if you're not tithing, you're eating God's food, and he's like sitting over there in the corner going, yeah, I don't have anything to eat.
That's exactly what he was saying.
He was saying exactly that.
And
it's as though, okay, so what God, I don't know, this is so bizarre, it's hard to even go there.
This guy
Let's go from there to the issue of being cursed because people are not tithing. Well, dear Brother Ed, you forgot a major letter that Paul wrote in the book of Galatians, explaining that all of the curse was taken upon Jesus, because cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. We are freed from the curse of the law. And the curse, and they say, yeah, but tithing came before the law. But the curse for not tithing did not come until the law. There was no curse for not tithing until the law came. Folks, you can tithe all you want. You can give 10%, you can give 20%, and if you're giving to Mike Williams Ministry, just make it 50%.
50%.
It's quite all right. I mean, but the fact of it is, regardless of what you, the percentage that you give, the tithe does mean 10%. And there are a lot of people who do make that choice. It is an organizing way to support ministry, and it is an organizing way to keep track of your own finances and your own giving, and without putting a great burden on people at different levels of income. Those are the logical statements. But for him to say that you are cursed for not tithing, when Galatians plainly says that we have been freed from the curse of the law because of the work of Christ, what an insult to the work of Jesus. I believe that our friend really does deserve, with all the credits and all of the accolades bestowed with it, the title of the Legalist of the Week.
The Legalist of the Week.
We need an echo come in there somehow.
Now you're really stretching it to get a reverb going in there. Hey, you know, there's so much in there. First of all those representations, whether it be, if you want to equate the partaking of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil with the tithe, Whether that was a foreshadowing of the tithe or not, we know this, Michael, that all those things that were spoken of, whether it be about the tree, whether it be about the tithe, whether it be about whatever the topic is that legalists take from the so-called Old Testament and try to apply it to people that are on the other side of the cross, we know that those ultimately were all representative of Jesus Christ. And he, the Bible says, came to not end the law, but to fulfill it. And,
well, now, wait a minute, too. Also, if you are giving your tithe to Ed Young, and the tithe is God's portion, and he uses that to eat, then it's Ed Young who's eating God's portion.
Well, but Ed Young would say he distributes his tithe out there, so he's not eating God's portion.
But he's eating, and it came from the tithe.
And the beat goes on. Do, 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 do.
Now it's time for us to give a call of repentance,
yes,
to our dear brother.
This is my favorite part.
And Ed Young, this is the most holy reverend, Michael Williams, sending out a very serious call of repentance, dear brother. You're whacked. Bring it back home. Repent. In the name of Jesus Christ, from this way of thinking, because it is a deadly insult to the cross of Jesus Christ, and it is an insult to the hearts and minds of those who have come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who has redeemed the world, and then to stand and bring such garbage forth is just ridiculous. It's just, you just repent, dear brother. Please repent. And as we call you to repent, we affirm that Ed Young, by the work of Jesus Christ, is righteous, holy, pure, perfect, without fault, and without blemish in the eyes of God. And God himself does not hold what Ed Young is doing to these people against him.
Exactly. Well, hold on. We got a technical issue. I like that pregnant pause anyway for dramatic effect. Are we live right now? Oh, we're archiving. Okay. We don't know why. What's going on? Okay. So what happened, yeah, we're going to, the internet went down in the middle of all that, Michael. But it is recorded. So if you're listening on the archive, just know that you didn't miss anything. And if you're listening live, we'll recap.
You missed everything.
Well, yeah, they can go back.
Until you listen on the archive.
They can go back and listen to it. Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, that was fantastic stuff. Thank you, Michael, for your insight. And somebody just emailed us and said we're off. So they're listening.
Yeah.
And that's a beautiful thing. But we're going to try to get us back on live. You folks that are listening on the archive obviously are not being affected. And praise the Lord for that. So let's segue in now. And there's plenty of time left, ladies and gentlemen, to give us a call at 1-800-436-3260, 1-800-436-3260. There's always time, of course, to email us your question to webcast@gospelrevolution.com. webcast@gospelrevolution.com. See, I had to mention Imus's problems earlier, Michael, with his thing. That's,
you forewarned the people. You prophesied our technical difficulty.
Hey, I did, didn't I? I think we need to do some tongue talking online eventually, and then we can interpret the tongues.
Let's save that for another day.
Yeah, exactly. But that's what they call a teaser in the industry, you know, in broadcasting. And here's a great letter from Matt of Elkhart, Indiana. He says, "Dear Mike, people ask me all the time why I think God continues to allow horrible things to happen in the world. I thought I'd share the perspective you have given me." Now, this he believes that this is what he's gleaned from his experience with the Gospel Revolution and your teachings, Michael. He says, "I praise God for every evil that comes into my life, because without sin and sickness, I'd never know the depth of his love and goodness. Without a negative, there is no positive. The world perfected in God's eyes goes on in imperfection so that every generation will one day come to know him and how much he loves us all. Thanks for loving us, Mike. Because of you, we have come to know God." Matt Martin from Elkhart, Indiana.
Awesome.
Yeah. So what's your take on
well,
evil?
Well, man, I'm not sure that God has figured it out as well as you have, but I certainly don't disagree with it. I don't know. I do agree with everything that he said, that the negative certainly produces the positive and the reality of the positive. Whether it's arranged that way, I don't know. We know it is that way. Whether it's purposed that way, I don't know, but we know that it is that way. And the only thing that we can do as humans is to take those comparisons, and there's many times during the day. I mean, you know, I'll get stuck in traffic, and the only thing that will cause me to bring my own self into a position of peace is stopping and thinking, you know, well, I'm only trapped in traffic. I'm not the car accident upset that the traffic is stopped for. So yeah, you know, it does cause us to. I would hesitate. I don't think that Glenn would, but I think I would hesitate to say that these things happened for these purposes. Or I think life is just life, and whatever way we have to kind of organize that in our thoughts to make it work, then we're all going to do that.
Exactly. And here's one of those questions, Michael, that we were referencing earlier. Ultimately, we can have, you know, a great take on it, like Matt had, different ways of looking at these things. But at the end of the day, we don't know why. Because, I mean, who is even to necessarily define what is evil and what is good. I mean, at the time, there were many Christians that thought the ending of slavery was the most evil thing that could possibly be. I don't think you'd have too many people, whether they call themselves Christians or not, would say that anymore. We see this happening with the gay rights movement. Christians are freaking right now that gay and lesbian people, Michael, are actually might be on the verge of having equal rights. We actually had a former four-star general at the Republican debate last week, I believe it was, here in Florida, get up and ask the Republican candidates, you know, I'm gay. You don't think I'm qualified to serve? And he came out after he left the military service. But these are very real issues. And,
oh, yeah.
And you know, even the definition of evil and good, I think, you know, at the end of the day, meaning as history goes by, and also perhaps when we go on into eternity, Michael, in heaven, we may have some understanding of some of this stuff. But this goes way beyond the scope of our ability to comprehend anything like this. And this is under the category, at the end of the day, that we don't know. I mean, I love Matt's take on it. And yes, you know, I do believe, as opposed to Michael's particular take on it, and many of you other beautiful humans, that God is involved in the day-to-day functioning, whether we just be keeping the planet rotating the way it does on its axis, and just keeping the universe in order, but in right down to our lives. But Michael, it doesn't make a difference vis-a-vis the gospel. All these things, what, speaking tongues, not speaking tongues, whatever. It doesn't in any way, as much as we vehemently disagree with Ed Young and Rod Parsley and T.D. Jakes, and there'll be more. the number is legion. That's an interesting little reference right there. It doesn't make a difference, our incredibly profound disagreements with them on the way that they're interpreting the Bible and the New Testament writings. As far as God is concerned, as you said about Ed Young, there is in as we are as anybody else is, because it's all based on the blood of Christ.
Absolutely, and that's the thing that keeps us in as one. And, you know, just like I say, even the disagreements about the application thereof, I take no issue with anyone about the application thereof. I may disagree, but I can be absolutely happy hanging around. I mean, you know, Glenn and I have a great time together and rejoice in the gospel. But these other guys who really denigrate the gospel, it's not the application of the gospel. They totally make void the gospel. So what we're wanting to do is help consolidate. We want to give everyone the latitude to make application of his gospel in whatever the way. I mean, they may want to speak in tongues all day long. They may feel called, quote, to a healing ministry and go out and lay hands on sick people all day long. And we would be absolutely your greatest fans. You may want to quit and go sit in the Northwest and sit next to a tree the rest of your life. You've got our support. But the thing that is causing this to be, I think it's going to become the most predominant understanding of the gospel on the earth, is that the expressions thereof we're not trying to dictate to people. We want to know the truth of the gospel and not have all of the other trash involved. And we instead tend to expose the trash, and when we can, we will take the trash out.
Yes, that's what we are, ladies and gentlemen. Spiritual trash collectors and thrower outers.
There you go. All right. You're lost again.
This question, ladies and gentlemen, comes from our buddy Bruce in Kentucky. He we did this one already, but you know, I'm going to bring it up anyway because it's awesome. He said, "I struggled myself years ago when Michael shared that he was indeed gay." No, we didn't do this one actually. It was a similar one. It shed the light. Okay, I'm going to start over. I struggled myself years ago when Michael shared that he was indeed gay. It shed the light on the self-righteousness that still dwelt in my thinking. He says, I'm well past it now. his sexual orientation is really what God used to set me free from legalism and righteousness. It was the last hurdle for me. Wow. He said, I am in the hopes that in the not-too-distant future, we will not have to reference Mike's preferences, especially on the webcast. It really seems to me at this point that it is not a non-issue and a mute subject. Oftentimes, Mike's orientation is mentioned on the webcast, and I see him no differently than anyone else. That God could even redeem me and save a gay man seems like a demeaning statement to me. Mike is just like you and I. We love and appreciate Mike and really don't care what his sexual orientation is. It makes little difference to the revelation he has been given. Living large, he says, Bruce Gosey from beautiful Kentucky. Yeah, we had not gone over that. But Bruce does reference the letter that we had read, which was similar. That's where that guy was at the time in Hawaii, if you'll recall that story, Michael. And that's what God used, if you will, or the understanding in the same way that Bruce talks about. When he realized you were gay, to him, that uncovered how much self-righteousness Bruce still had in his own heart. And I told the story that the first time that we ever sat down and had a meal together, I flat out asked you, so what's up with the gay thing? This has got to be, 10, 12 years ago. And you said to me, Glenn, I'm as gay as I ever was. And I had fought the encroachment of the gay rights movement. In my professional life, in my personal life, the ex-gay ministry support. And right then, Michael, when you said that, and I had absolutely no judgment in my heart, I knew I was free.
Yeah, that's wild. Yeah. And, that's just the presence of the gospel. And I can't credit that for anything but that one awesome, awesome thing. And the gospel really is powerful. I've not had to go around preaching to people why gays ought to be, equal in the eyes of God and in society. But it's when they get the gospel, they get that. I don't have to tell people about racism and bigotry and all of these things. It's amazing the change, because when you see everybody equal on a spiritual level, then there is a common denominator. For you to work out fractions, you have to have a common denominator. And you can work all of that out once you have the common denominator.
No doubt. That's fantastic stuff. This is Glenn Klein Online. You're listening to the archive of the webcast. See, I know that because we're not online right now. But we will be informing everybody, Michael, that the show cut out due to technical difficulties and that. But in its entirety, it will be archived. So we're going to continue forth. And this is good, too, because we get to answer some more questions that have been logged in for quite a while and queued up. These first couple questions I've had for over a month. This one came just after your meetings in Calgary, Michael, from our good friends Diane and Rowan Raphael. In Calgary, and they asked Michael if you would talk a little bit about your time, maybe on this trip and in general that you've had in Canada.
Oh my! Oh gosh, we're 5 minutes till. That's a whole program. and I think we did read this, and I think the last broadcast, Glenn, but again, I mean, the our time in Canada was just off the charts.
Well, and I think more than just, because we obviously talked about the Calgary meetings, but I think, Michael, that it'd be nice to just reiterate how important to this whole process, for whatever reason, the folks up in Canada have been. I mean, for a long time, that was our largest single group of people that were receiving this and supporting it.
Well, yeah, I mean, there was, while that was the only thing that kept the, as far as the gospel, as I share it on the air or on any tape or anything, I mean, it was strictly our, and then not that there weren't other folks here in the States, but it really was the dedication and the commitment of the folks in Canada that saw us through. Rowan and Diane were very instrumental in that. There were things that I just could not do. I mean, I'm not in Canada, and they took up a tremendously big role. Diane took on making the tapes and having those all ready, and that got out the tapes there where our good friend Harold up in Edmonton, Harold Widmer, my goodness, you know, 10 years ago had already put out almost 10,000 of my tapes at that time. I'm sure he ran into the 20,000-30,000 that he'd sent out around the world. And it really sowed the seeds for the gospel around the planet out of our Canada meetings. And as people listened over the years to many of my series, they were from Canada, because that's where I was going back to and was returning to where that I could pick up kind of where I left off. All the other places were new, and I was having to take the time to cover territory that, you know, I couldn't just jump on to something else. So then we had to lay the foundation for these folks. But yeah, Canada definitely kept us in the running, if you will, in the times when the running felt like running through molasses, but they sure kept us going.
No doubt. Thank God for Canada. Yes. Oh, we do not blame Canada like the South Park movie does, but we...
yeah, really.
Was that South Park? Yeah, what South Park? Wasn't it, Pat?
They insult most everybody.
Blame Canada. The movie? Yeah, it was South Park for sure. What an awesome movie that was. Talk about offending some sensibilities. This next letter comes to us from Carol Felger in beautiful Cape Coral, Florida. She says, Michael, we appreciate your willingness to speak out about what the Spirit of the Lord has revealed to you, even though it ruffles feathers, you think? My husband, Jerry, is a chiropractor, and a brother and sister, patients of his, ran into each other in our waiting room and began to talk about another one of their sister who is an evangelical Christian, a Baptist. They were so fed up with her trying to make them think their way about salvation. But being the interactive receptionist that I am, I of course had to open my mouth. Now at this point, Michael, I have to say I'm getting used to paying the price to say my piece. That's really something to do that in a place of business. That's putting it on the line. That's pretty cool, Carol. She says, I mentioned about the negative effects of religion and how it tears families apart, how we must meet at our bottom line of Jesus, what he accomplished at the cross, his love, etc. Well, little did I know, his brother and sister were Catholic, dedicated Catholics, totally convinced that they are the only way, the Catholics. So now, Michael, thanks to my big mouth, I've got to listen to a set of Catholic CDs so they will listen to more of the Gospel Revolution CDs. She says, I can't wait to have a conversation about that one. And then Carol, of course, and Jerry are great supporters of ours in Cape Coral. Yeah. And so, all right, Carol, we want to hear a follow-up report about exactly what happened. So you can do that at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. Well, just like that, Michael, we've come to an end of another exciting edition of Glenn Klein Online. And they go by fast. We'll get to more of your emails and your questions and your comments next week. We'll do it in 1 week's time. Michael, thank you very much.
Thank you, Glenn.
Want to thank Patrick L. Jones, our producer and engineer and call screener extraordinaire. Want to thank Pep Washburn for joining in from Marshfield, Wisconsin. Greg Amberge calling us from Cincinnati, Ohio. Until next week, this is Glenn Klein Online. Shalom, everybody.